Hi there, it's Candice.
And Sorrel from Closet Confessions. Our show is currently brought to you by The Colour Purple, a bold new take on the beloved classic, in cinemas January 26.
Adapted from the beloved novel and Broadway musical, this is a bold retelling complete with an incredible new cast.
We're talking Taraji P. Henson, Danielle Brooks, Fantasia Barrino, Halle Bailey, as well as the musical talent including her and Jon Batiste.
And the soundtrack, including artists such as Georgia Smith, Alicia Keys, Keisha Cole, and Usher.
This is a stunning celebration of women and sisterhood. The Colour Purple is in cinemas from January 26.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who, in a concert, you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home, you're going to say it as well. In friendship, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life I've lived under the gaze of my parents.
Fuck that shit.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Dig Deep podcast. Now, this is the episode where we take you in to myself and Leanne's sisterhood as we ask ourselves a series of questions to get to know each other better.
Hey Shan, what's going on?
Hey my love, I'm good. I'm needing to go to the gym, but I'm avoiding it. So I've decided I'm going to do some steps today instead.
I just came from the gym, as it happens. I am on serious gym mode leading up to December 8th, 2023.
Oh, what day is that? Let me know.
That's the day that I am getting married.
Jumping the broom.
Yeah, jumping the broom.
Is jumping the broom a Caribbean thing?
No, it's definitely an African-American thing. Okay. I don't think we do it at all. Some people do it here, but it's not like a tradition. You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me, what's a typical traditional Jamaican wedding? And I was like, there is no tradition. I feel like so many of our traditions are like shrouded in like African cultures. So people might do traditional Ethiopian weddings or like Orthodox weddings. You know, some people do Catholic weddings, some people jump the broom.
Do you know what? Yeah, I don't think we have a traditional thing. Like, you know, like, yeah, I don't think we have a traditional thing. I think that things that form a tradition for me is like having rum cake. Like, for me, I feel like
whether or not
the bride and groom like rum cake, 9 times out of 10 is going to be rum cake there, even if it's like a cupcake.
I do not like rum cake.
No way.
But we have rum cake for our wedding cake. And it was like, it was not a question. It could not be disputed. That's what we had to do. So we're having rum cake. We'll have other cakes as well. But yeah, the rum cake is our wedding cake.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. We're going to move on from that.
So we are here to ask each other questions and get to know each other a little bit better. I'm going to jump right in by asking, where do you see our friendship, or where would you like to see our friendship 5 years from now?
I would like to see it exactly how it is.
Oh.
If I'm honest. I don't think I have any doubts for it. I don't think I have any areas of improvement for it. I'd like to see our friendship and sisterhood where it is now, but with our lives reflecting where we want to be personally in 5 years' time. Do you get what I mean? So, like, for example, if in 5 years' time you want to have children, then I want our friendship to exist within that realm.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people have really close friendships and relationships. Individuals grow, they then grow apart. But I just want us to stay the same, but within the life that you're in. Because I feel like if you were to have a child, my role within our relationship may or may not change. Do you get what I mean?
I don't think it would, actually. I mean, you'd be auntie, obviously, but like, yeah.
So like my friend, who I'm a godparent to her son, when I go to her house, it's not like just us two kiki in and then like we might fill her husband in on it a bit later. And I sit down, talk to her and her husband both together. Then I'll spend time with her. Then it'll be me, her and the baby and him. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really, I don't know if she does it intentionally, because normally I come on a day when he's working and he works from home. So I'm not sure if she does it intentionally or if it's just like, oh, come and say hi to him. And then we end up talking because I know him separately to her as well. Like I met them at when they were single as friends, but at the same time at uni. But for me, I think it's equally as important to have a relationship with her as it is him now that I'm a godparent. Whereas before, I had a relationship with him, but it was more just like through her in terms of like closeness and proximity. Whereas now I feel like if life was to go left in any way, which I don't wish upon them or him, I need to be able to have a rapport with him that I can step up and do what I need to do. Do you get what I mean? So yeah, I'm more mean in terms of like that dynamic. Because I do think sometimes, I wish I knew your partner like more.
Yeah, and I was just thinking the same thing actually. I was just like, gosh, Shan doesn't actually know him at all. But you'll get to know him, obviously. And it will become... Yesterday was actually the first day that we went out as a couple and met some of my friends. Because he just hasn't had a chance to do that because I've been living in the UK. And we had a great time, which was good. It made me feel better about like, you know, what will bode well for my friends becoming a part of our lives. But it's true, like every single couple, every single male friend that I've had or female friend, I've become friends with their partners, whether or not I knew them beforehand. And actually I see them as a unit now. So like what I tell him, I tell her, what I tell her, what I, is what I tell him. I expect them to update each other on what I've shared with the other person. So it's, we literally are a unit.
I'm obviously not married yet. I'm really big on your village and knowing who your village are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's important for your friends to be aware of who your partner is with appropriate proximities, of course.
Of course.
So that they can support the village that you're in with your partner. Because ultimately, how will they otherwise? And I don't think it's for every friend. I don't think every friend has to have an intimate relationship with your partner, obviously non-sexual. But like, I don't think there's a need for everyone. No, you know, you got to give those disclaimers because I don't know who's listening to the podcast. And, you know, certain people might take the podcast and run with it. And I'm not encouraging any nastiness because we don't do that over here.
You know, what's so funny is I saw a video on Instagram the other day. It was either Instagram or TikTok where it's like a meme where it's a couple is standing there and it's like, oh, when my best friend becomes my partner's best friend. And then the best friend jumps into the frame and like, jumps into the arms of both of the woman and the man, but the man is like awkwardly holding her thigh and it's just so uncomfortable. I'm like, my friends don't need to be that close to my man. It's not
impossible. I don't even need to hug, and if I hug it'll be a side hug
or the pat, that pat on the back, that like very like
it's
pat-
a side hug.
You can be close to my partner, my partner is very like, he is physically affectionate, so he'll give you like a proper hug or he'll give you a kiss on the cheek, that kind of thing. And if he likes you, he's an affectionate person, but I don't need you climbing into my man's lap either. Like there's boundaries.
I'm not gonna lie, I do think we should have an episode about boundaries with people's partners, because I think it's something that causes a lot of divide in terms of like boundaries. Like sometimes I feel like when I talk to my mum, she's on kind of the extremer end of like what her boundaries are and aren't. But a lot of her boundaries are instilled into me. Let's say I came to Jamaica, not for the wedding, just to stay at your house for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, because it would always be that long because I'm coming to Jamaica. Like, I'm just not walking around the house in shorts. That's just not something I'm going to do.
I would walk around the house in shorts. Like,
I just don't think it's an appropriate thing. I would go out in shorts. If I'm going to an event, I'm not going to say I'm going to come to Jamaica and not wear shorts the entire time I'm there because I'm staying at your house. I would go out in shorts. I wouldn't be wearing my little shorts around your house.
Okay, fair. I mean, that would not be a problem for me, but...
But you get what I mean? Like, those sort of things I'm just not going to do. Or, like, I wouldn't be walking around, like, just free the nipples, no bra.
No. I get you.
But there's people that will think it's okay.
We do need to have an episode about boundaries, yeah. It would be a good one.
If you could choose 3 people to share an intimate meal with, who would it be and why?
Ooh, are these people that I know? Are they people that I don't know?
Let's do both. People that you know and people that you don't know.
Okay.
Dead or alive.
So, okay. People that I know, I would have dinner with my dead or alive, my mom, my grandparent, my grandfather, and my on my mom's side, and my grandmother on my dad's side. Because I feel like I didn't get to spend time with them, and I would really like to get the stories and the background. Like I was telling someone yesterday when we went out for dinner, that my dad was born in Cuba, but I have no clue how he got there, or not how he got there, but how he left there and the circumstances under which he left. And it'd be really nice to hear those stories. And it's nice because I do have people on my mom's side who share stories about her background and her upbringing. But I don't have that on my dad's side because he was so much older. So I feel like those are the three people that I would have dinner with that I know, dead and alive.
What would you want to talk to your mom about?
Everything and anything. There's nothing that I want to talk to her about that I don't know. I just miss her. And so I just want her to have dinner with her.
Yeah.
I just want her to be there. She's just a bonus. people that I don't know that I would want to. Oh, this is hard. Goodness. Angela Davis, just because she's like a personal hero who I hope to be as impactful, not as impactful as her, because that's almost impossible. But yeah, just hope to have at least an eighth or a 16th of the impact that she's had. Zora Neale Hurston, because she's one of my favorite writers, and I would really love to know more about the way in which she writes. And also, she had this really weird relationship with her publisher, who was also like her lover, who was a white woman. So yeah, just interested in that dynamic. This is a little bit controversial. There are so many people I'd have dinner with that I don't
know. You can say Vibes Cartel.
No, I wouldn't have dinner with Vibes Cartel. I do other things with Vibes Cartel, like I'd sit and smoke a spliff with him or something.
Mm-hmm.
But dinner, not necessarily. And I'd want to be in the studio with him. Like that's my interest in him as more so than a person.
Yeah.
I would love to have dinner with Robert Mugabe.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Sorry.
Robert Mugabe is the former president, prime minister of Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
And he is largely responsible for like the reclaiming of Black ownership or ownership of Black by Black people in Zimbabwe and the exclusion of white people. But that's a very like simplified way of putting it and doesn't necessarily paint him in the greatest light. But it's not because he's my hero. And now I've just thought of another person, but he doesn't need to be my hero, but I just think he's such an interesting character. Like I read a book recently. For all of those who are looking for interesting book recommendations, check out our TikTok, by the way, called Dinner with Mugabe. And it's this white woman who wrote a story about meeting him for one time. And then she went off and did interviews with like all of these other people who knew him. And his resilience and his like steadfastness in his beliefs, whether they're right or wrong, and I won't go into that now, is just such an interesting thing to me. Like he went to prison, he married multiple women, he just is a very, very interesting character and very instrumental in the history of Zimbabwe. Again, whether good or bad, that's something to be discussed at a later date. But yeah. Either him or Thomas Sankara, who also was president of Burkina Faso. I'm reading a book about him now, and he actually had a very, very interesting life and was like a socialist feminist and managed to turn Burkina Faso around in a very critical time. So those are the three people that that I would want to have dinner with, all of whom are dead, actually. No, Angela Davis is still alive, but everybody else is dead. Your turn. I want to hear who you'd have dinner with.
Who I'd have dinner with?
Yeah. Dead and alive.
I just love intimacy, like non-sexual intimacy. I really, really love it. I've spent a lot of weekends going to my dad's for dinner. And I went to my dad's for dinner and it was me, him and his dad. And it was just us three. And the dynamic of that I don't think we've ever been in an intimate space, like having dinner just us three, like ever prior to that point. Aww. And we had a really emotional chat, and my granddad actually started crying at one point. I spoke to my auntie, who's my granddad's daughter, my dad's sister, obviously. And she was like, that's probably the second time she's ever aware of him crying in her, like, 21 years of living. So for me, it was just like, there was so much power behind the conversation that we was having that then allowed him to have that emotion. And I remember saying to him, I remember looking at him and saying, like, granddad, you know it's okay to cry. You can cry. Like, you're safe. It's just us here. And then he cried. And it was really beautiful. It was a really, really beautiful moment. But I say that to give context to why I'm going to say this. Because I've had loads of moments like that with different family members. But my aunt, who basically raised my dad, and also a second mum to me and to my mum, I would love to have a dinner with her, my mum and my dad, like just us three.
Okay, yeah.
And to just talk and to like speak about different things in a similar way that I had it with my dad and his dad, because I feel like that conversation would be really, really emotional and really, really interesting and also really, really funny on like so many different layers. Because I feel like my aunt always told me stories about my dad and always told me stories about my mum. And then like vice versa, those three people basically always tell me stories about each other. But I'm like, I've never experienced having them all in the same place to like talk about those stories. And I feel like there's a really nice warmth you get when you have that experience in the same way that I had it. Like for my birthday this year, I went out to eat with my dad and my mum and my brother. I don't do the whole half sibling, non-half sibling thing. And I know some people do, and that's really great for them. But I don't do that. All my siblings, we're all blended together. Our parents get along. It's fantastic on this side, okay? But by biology, this is my only full sibling, let's say, yeah?
Yeah.
And because my mum and dad split up when I was quite young and they're both with other partners now, we're never ever in a space where it's just us. Like me, my dad, my mum and my brother. And I've never been aware of that. I've never craved it. I've never wanted it. But on my birthday, we went out for the meal and we had it. I was like, wow. It made me realise we never would have got this experience up until now, because it just so happened we met like in the middle of the week when everyone's working. We met for like breakfast on my birthday. And I was really just stressed out this year a little bit. So them three took the day off to then spend with me. And we probably won't get that moment again. But I really took a lot of value from that conversation and really, really appreciated it. So yeah, that was a really long way to explain it, but I wanted to give context as to why.
No, that makes sense. And it's interesting, like your family is actually, for me, a really good example of a blended family and how you've been able to navigate like having step parents that actually get along. And
now we keep it honest over here now, baby. Okay. Before it was not like this.
You've gotten to that point. Okay. So three people that you don't know.
Three people that I don't know. Okay. This is going to be off the cuff. I would say I'd like to talk to Beyonce.
Oh, that's it. I never thought I would hear that from you.
Yeah, I do. But it's mainly because, you know me, I like to pick at things and just inquire. And I just want to know if she's actually happy. Like, I feel like we actually don't. No. We don't know anything about Beyonce. She just gets up on stage and dances. All anyone can tell you is the elevator story, which wasn't even her story to tell. It was Solange's. And her success from career and music. What is her personality? What does it mean to be Beyonce? Who is she behind music and career and success? I want to know that. Tell me. Because her music soundtracked a lot of my early days of singing in the shower and, you know, pretending I was going through heartbreak. So I need to know those answers right now. Okay. Then I would probably choose, and this is not intentional, they're all singers, but either Tasha Cobbs or there's an artist, I can't remember his name. I think it's like, oh my gosh, I think it's like Zachariah Cortez. I don't know, but he sings like a brilliant song called Lord Do It For Me. And I know like all of his tracks.
Okay.
But I just feel like right now, this year has been very testing when it's come to my faith. And as two singers who have like helped me to soundtrack my interaction with gospel music this year, I would love to know like their relationship with God and their walk with God and gain insight from that. So I think their songs are so beautiful and so powerful that they'll probably have insight they could give me that would really help me with the season that I'm in. And then a third person to have dinner with, My mind is blank. Joseph from the Bible. I don't know how he felt when he was in the pit and his brother stole his coat. What was going on? I want to know how hard or easy was forgiveness for him during that time.
He's so funny. But what I was going to say is that it's so interesting how music, it, when you said the soundtrack, I literally feel like I have a soundtrack going on in my head when things are happening to me. Like, I'm like, this song would be perfect for what I'm experiencing right now. And sometimes yeah. I'll go back to listen to it. And if I have the opportunity to listen to it while I'm doing the thing, I'll actually facilitate that.
Music is but so powerful. Me and my mum really went to a party the other day and a song played, yeah? And I've not heard the song in ages. And I looked at my mum and she looked at me and I said to her, do you remember what happened when this song was big? And she said, yeah. We have never spoken about this song, okay? But we heard the song playing and looked at each other and we knew that song soundtracked a very, you know, not the most positive times of our life. And I have other songs that are like that as well. But I also have songs that are positive. Like when I listen to like Rare Groove and old school reggae, it really reminds me of being young, going to my grand's house and everyone being there and having food. But like music is so, so powerful. And, you know, going back to what I was saying about my faith right now and not really feeling like I'm where I want to be with it. I feel like I've struggled a lot this year. When yeah. I feel like I can't talk to God and pray to God, I've been able to play his play gospel music and talk to him through the lyrics of those songs. Do you get what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
So just shout out musicians, man, because I don't know if they really see the true impact of the legacy they leave behind when they create the music and the art.
Favorite new song right now is a song by an artist called Joseph Solomon, called Black Like Me or Black Like You. Yeah, check it out. Life changing. Love it.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt, but we just wanted to say if you're enjoying this podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you hit the subscribe button.
Unapologetically Black.
What is a value we share and how does that shape our relationship?
One word came to my head straight away, so I'm going to run with this one. I don't know how important it is to you in general.
Right.
But I know it's important to me in general and it's important to our relationship. So the value is transparency.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Oh my God.
Okay. I think the reason why our friendship and sisterhood has been so, like, organic, authentic, quite easy to get to the level that it's at now is because we're so transparent. So we've never had to go through the awkward phase. Well, I'm talking from my perspective and you can let me know if you agree after. But I don't feel like I've ever had to go through the awkward phase of trying to get to know someone and then like questioning myself in my head and being like I've always known where I stood with you. I've never had to question like, oh, does Leanne care about me?
Yeah.
Does she feel as close to me as I feel to her? Does she like me? I've never had to doubt that or question that. And I think it's because we're so transparent. So I've always known from the beginning, like, what... And it's also non-verbal transparency as well. Do you get what I mean? Like, you can be around someone and their body language or demeanor can tell you how they feel about you or how they act. And I feel like we're both very an open book in those ways. So it's allowed me to like, flourish in our friendship at ease because of how transparent we both are.
You know what's funny is that I definitely believe in transparency, but I only give it when I feel like people are deserving of it. So if somebody has lied to me, and this is not a good trait, by the way, because I think you should be transparent and I don't think you should allow other people's behaviors to affect the way in which you uh-huh. behave. But it's just a thing, especially in relationships, like I will be transparent because I know that the person is being transparent with me. But if I feel like the person is lying to me or is not transparent with me, I will withhold transparency from them because I don't want them to take the piss.
High five.
No, Shannon, it's a toxic
if thing. I'm talking to a guy and I'm saying to you, oh, how have you been, what was this week like, and you're like, yeah, it was good, I just went out to eat yesterday, some nice food, why have you not said who you with? Okay, so when you're not asking me how was your week, I'm gonna say, yeah, I went to cinema late one, it was a good film. Yeah, whereas normally I'll be like, oh, we linked up with Leanne, we did this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start saying, yeah, I went out with my friend. Whereas normally, whether you know my friend or not, I'm like, I was with Leanne. Mm-hmm. You want to play games? We'll play games too. Quite petty.
yeah, you can be yourself and just observe somebody else's behavior and be like, okay, I don't need to engage with this person because of the fact that they are not being transparent. And that should be good enough.
That was it you I was about to say. And maybe this is the learning curve I needed from this episode. Because moving forward, I'm going to try to do that. Because it's true. Because you know what? If I'm actually thick deep in it, yeah, the situations that I've been in where it's been like that, they didn't amount to anything. They didn't blossom into anything because and I wasn't really able to authentically be myself.
Really what it is it's you pushing the person to be transparent because you're like, well, if I'm not transparent, then they're going to start wondering why I'm not being transparent. And then that will push them to be transparent. No, if they don't want to be transparent from the outset, that's basically, you know, believe them when they tell you who they are. Like, it's one of those things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Describe the first time you had a crush on someone.
Oh, my goodness. I had a crush on this guy in, I think it was like fourth grade, probably. The first time I ever had a crush on somebody. So I was like 8, 9. And I wrote him a letter. And I left it on his desk. Or maybe I left it on my desk. Actually, I left it on my desk. And my teacher, this bitch, she took the letter and she gave it to the guy. And without my consent or my knowledge. And obviously he read it and it turned out to be this big thing because obviously he didn't like me back. And I was really upset. No, this Sorry, is a very this is a very bit. Deep story because I went to like a Jewish prep school. I was telling somebody this yesterday. I went to a Jewish prep school and I was one of maybe 3 very dark kids in my class, one girl and one boy. And all of us used to commiserate about how we were treated and I was bullied a lot because of my skin color. And this boy, I want to say, was like, it's obviously a very international school. I think he was like Dominican or something like that. In any event, he wasn't black. And this is maybe a sign as to why I don't date outside of my race ever in life. But
the trauma.
Yeah, it comes from a deep, deep trauma. But yeah, and he like made fun of me and he showed the letter to other people. I think he showed it to his parents and then my parents got involved. It was a whole drama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Like my parents came in and, you know, yeah, basically he made fun of me and made fun of me in front of other people for having a crush on him, which spurred a series of bullying that lasted a very long time.
Well, I feel very bad for asking this question now. I thought you were going to tell me something, you know, really cute, really delicate, really, you know.
No, childlike. I was a very unpopular kid or girl when I was younger. Like, I was kind of an ugly duckling. I had really bad acne. I had a really flat ass, which was a thing. I had some very, like, the nicknames that they had for me in prep school and in high school, like the beginning part of high school, were very brutal.
How do you feel like that plays a role in who you are today, the bullying?
I mean, I think it's definitely one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about DBW, because I want to provide space for Black women to be themselves and to feel loved and empowered no matter what people think about them. For sure, that plays a role. Because I think that's when it made me realize from a very, very early age, which I think most people in the Caribbean don't have to contend with, my Blackness, like more, because everybody's Black, right? But because I grew up, my formative years were in a majority or minority Black environment, I think it made a huge difference in terms of how I viewed myself and what I wanted for people who looked like me. So there's that. It also means that I have rarely ever dated outside of my race, and again, that's part of like, I accept and acknowledge that people can be pro-Black and date outside their race. My version of pro-Black just looks like dating within my race. Like, I tease my partner all the time that because he's not full Black, he's very much mixed, that I'm very concerned about how our children are going to turn out. And Yeah, so I think just it I think those are the two main things that it did for me. But as a person, I think it just made me super, super proud of being Black rather than super ashamed of it, which I think is something that could have happened to somebody else in my shoes. Yeah, it's just like I wear my Blackness very, very proudly now because it was something that was shunned when I was younger. Trauma. Okay. What do you respect most about me?
This is something that I would say I admired or was inspired by when I was first getting to know you. But I think it's something that's been instrumental to your, obviously you're still with us, but I think it's instrumental to your, the legacy that you're leaving on a lot of people that you don't really realize. But I feel
when
like
I die in 2 years.
Yeah, I just feel like you're super like multifaceted, like to a different degree. And I feel like you've always been really, really open about who you are and what your story is, however easy or hard that may or may not be. And I think when I was on the podcast with you especially,
mm-hmm.
And you would talk about, for example, like sidemen and like that those sort of culture conversations. And I joined in and I took part. Realistically, in hindsight, if you didn't bring that up or you didn't lead on that conversation, I probably would have never or brought that up. Or like when you spoke about the fact that in your former life you used to be like a serial cheater, for example. A lot of women wouldn't be that open and honest about that. You don't see women speaking about it in that way, unless you see it like, oh, I got my lick back, and it comes from a very like bitter way. But you was actually just speaking open and honest about who you are and your story. And I think when you're around people who can authentically be themselves, it allows you to naturally fall into an authentic version of yourself. I always think struggled when I was younger with being like the kid that was academic, but I also liked to party, but I also liked sports. So then what child am I? But then I was also funny. So then what child am I? And like that was a lot for me to internalize. And I feel like the moment that I really like took off that pressure and that burden and that coat forever was probably when we started DBW. I feel like who we do DBW for and what we stand for, I don't know if I was hyper aware at the time that it was exactly what I needed for myself at the time that we started it.
Yeah.
So I kind of fell into doing something for others that I actually needed to do for myself.
Yeah,
which is probably why I lent on you a lot more when we first started, because I felt like you was already either there or further along your journey than I was. Mm. But I don't think this is something that is in proximity to our closeness. I think this is an impact that you have on loads of women around you, whether they're younger than you, whether they're the same age as you, or whether they're older than you. My mum always says it. Like, she's always like, do you know what I love about Leanne? She's just so real. Like, you posted a video of yourself on Instagram, yeah? On the DBW Instagram, where you're in, like, the white shorts. And you're broken out, yeah? No, the white child, sorry. And you're broken out at the party. And my mom knows you as Leanne, my friend. You know, she's Dr. Leanne Leavers. And then she's seen a video of you broken out on Instagram. Oh, I was like, wow, that's Leanne. So it's like that ability to be both people, both of those versions of you are true. And I feel like that's really important.
It's so funny because every time I share or overshare, as the case may be on podcasts, I'm always like, did I just say that out loud? Like, you know, there is a moment of like, should I have said that? Should I not say that? Because you open yourself up for criticism. It's funny. I recently posted something on Instagram. Someone saw the thing about you'll get to know more about Leanne on the podcast, including her love of Vibes Cartel and being a serial cheater in her past life. I'm not doing that anymore, guys. But, you know, but it's true. And I said it to my partner because he was like, oh, you know, why you have to let people know that? And, you know, it doesn't matter now. And I was like, but it does matter because I wouldn't be a good partner now if I hadn't been a serial cheater in the past. Maybe I would have, but nothing. It would have, my journey would have been different. And actually acknowledging that you are not your mistakes, or you don't have to be the same person every, you know, you can change and you can adapt and you can transform into something different.
I think ultimately our past shapes us and doesn't define us. I think there's a very big difference. I feel like, especially when you look at negative things, that those two things aren't necessarily negative. But when you look at like trauma, for example, I, for a long time, attached myself to trauma and what it meant to be or to go through those experiences. But actually, I have nothing to do with those experiences. I experienced that and it shaped me in a way, which is why I asked you the question when it came to like, bullying and how do you think that shaped who you are today?
Yeah.
It doesn't define who you are, but it would have created a version of you now. Like, for example, some people might be like, I have a friend, yeah, and she's a big people pleaser. She didn't have any friends until she was in uni because she was bullied her entire life up until uni, like severely bullied, no friends at all. So it's like, it gives me an understanding to who she is. It doesn't define her. That story doesn't define her, but it has shaped her into people-pleasing tendencies. And when she eventually grows out of that or like works through that, it won't even be part of who her story is at the time that you then meet her. Do you know what I mean?
And you know what's interesting? And I find this very specific about men who go into therapy, specifically narcissists who go into therapy. I'm not talking about anybody specific, but you know, I happen to know a lot of men who are narcissists. So let's just go with that. Is they will identify what their trauma is and use it as an excuse for their bad behavior. And it's just like, oh, but you know, I cheated this time because I really just had a shitty relationship with my mom. And, you know, she didn't teach me how. It's like, okay, that happened and I'm sorry that happened, but what are you going to do about it? Like,
and it makes it worse that you have the awareness for me. So you're aware that your mom did this and it impacted you in this way. And you've chosen to do nothing about it, but instead you've chosen to project and repeat the script rather than writing your own new one. It's sickening.
It's
sickening.
Men, whether men or women, like if you see that in a person, run very far away, because it is, for me, one of the key signs of narcissism.
One of my friends, yeah, it was her birthday a few months ago, and her best friend forgot to say happy birthday to her, yeah? And she expressed to her best friend that she felt a way about it. This is not no new friend. They've been friends for years. Let's say 10, but I know it's more than 10.
Yeah.
And her best friend's response was, you didn't remind me like you normally do. That's why I forgot. Sorry?
Come again?
When should it ever be someone's responsibility to remind somebody else of their own birthday? When you can put a reminder on your Apple calendar and it will do annual reminder every year. When you can type onto WhatsApp, happy birthday, Leanne, and you can check what the date is. That's what I do if it's not in my calendar.
Me too.
How can you? When I saw that message, I said to my friend, I hope they're no longer your friend anymore. Because that might be a small situation, and it might just be a, you know, not everyone looks at birthdays in the same way, and I'm aware of that. But the gaslighting attached to that is crazy. It's crazy.
How about just, I'm sorry, I forgot. I'll put a reminder in my calendar for next year.
You know what I mean? I missed it. So I'm going to make it up to you. Huh?
Crazy.
Anyway, guys, if you want to make friends, black friends, good black friends, come to one of our events, okay? Connect with the women online because we have a sisterhood of great women. Thank you. Okay, last question. What in our relationship are you most grateful for?
There are many things, but I feel like the accountability piece, and transparency leads into that, or it's part of it, it's all connected. But actually, I really, really appreciate the accountability. And not to say that I don't have other friends that hold me accountable, but the way in which you hold me accountable is actually really useful for me thinking through things. So if I am scared about something, or if I don't want to do something, or if I'm avoiding something, one, I feel like you naturally sense it. You have like the sixth sense when something is wrong. So that's the first thing, which makes me feel like I can't say nothing is wrong because you already know deep down. And then, you know, you make me think through things like, what if the shoe was on the other foot? Or you'll provide me with a resource. You'll be like, listen to this podcast episode. You always give me the other side of things, as opposed to just being like, no, Leanne, you can't do this because this is not right. Like, you let me see it through the lens of the other person or through some other alternative, like, idea or scenario that then makes sense to me. And maybe that's just the way I learn. But oftentimes when people tell me to do something, my inclination is to tell them no. Like, I don't, even if it's good for me.
Not the rebellious.
It's true. Like, and it's funny because I've noticed that I've been asking my brother for advice recently about certain things, and he's adamant about not telling me what to do because he knows that I'll go ahead and do the opposite, even if it's good for me.
Where does that come from?
I just don't like, maybe it's being, I don't know, spoiled. Maybe it's the last child syndrome. I don't know, ask, yeah, if you ask any single one of my friends, they will tell you, like, if you tell Leanne to do something, she will go and do the opposite because you've told her to do X, she'll go and do Y. It's just, it's a very, very bad habit that I have. It's not even a habit, it's a trait. Like, it's actually a thing that I need to get to the bottom of. So I'm not really sure where it comes from, but it's definitely a thing. So because you don't tell me no, or you do tell me no, but you do it in a way that allows me to see another side. Like,
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Because my approach to giving someone advice or my opinion is rarely ever like, I think this or I think that, or you should do this or you should do that. It's always like, have you considered this? Have you considered that?
Exactly.
And when the person makes a decision, it's nothing to do with me.
Exactly. Sometimes you have to let people know, let people think it was their own idea. And I think you allowed me to think it was my own idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, to round up the dig deep episode, you need to dig deep into why you are avoiding taking people's advice when you know it could be good for you, because we need to go over that in 2024.
Okay? Let me call my Black woman therapist. Anyone needs a Black woman therapist, just hit us up, slide into the DMs, message us, join the WhatsApp
group. She's basically the therapist for everyone in DBW now.
She is actually. We have like a set of three. And I feel like all three of them collectively take care of the DBW WhatsApp community. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Have you been to her?
I haven't, but I'm considering going back into therapy. But I wanted to take a break because I want to do more therapy. I've done therapy twice. One was like CBT and talking therapy, and then the other was EMDR. But they were both trauma related. And now I feel like I've genuinely like come on the other side of those experiences. I just want to go back to therapy for like myself, you know, like
more normal
things. More normal things that people go to therapy about rather than extreme trauma. Why am I doing therapy that people that are in war do? Why am I doing that?
I mean, you said it was amazing and it worked.
It's amazing.
I know someone else is doing it as well and it seems to be life-changing. I might have to do it because I might have to tap into the reason that I cannot remember my childhood before the age of like 8 or 9. Like, I genuinely cannot remember so many things.
It's good. So guys, you know, therapy's not for everyone, but I am a big advocate of trying different versions. Massage therapy, art therapy, dance therapy, talking therapy. But EMDR therapy, if you've been through extreme trauma and you want to go to the other side, you better check that shit out. You better check it out, because that will change your life. But it's hard work. It's definitely hard work.
All right, folks. So we will see you next week.
The end.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Women CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Women across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.
Hi there, it's Candice.
And Sorrel from Closet Confessions. Our show is currently brought to you by The Colour Purple, a bold new take on the beloved classic, in cinemas January 26.
Adapted from the beloved novel and Broadway musical, this is a bold retelling complete with an incredible new cast.
We're talking Taraji P. Henson, Danielle Brooks, Fantasia Barrino, Halle Bailey, as well as the musical talent, including her and John Batiste.
And the soundtrack, including artists such as Georgia Smith, Alicia Keys, Keisha Cole, and Usher.
This is a stunning celebration of women and sisterhood. The Colour Purple is in cinemas from January 26.